May I share this meditation with you this morning in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Put smiles on your faces because the Lord is with us. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Very good. You know, my name is Father George Ronkowitz, as Father Hugh said. Originally a priest from the Diocese of Connecticut. Now I'm a retired priest from the Diocese of Southeast Miami, Southeast Florida, and I work for food, not work, but I am part of the Speaker's Bureau for Food for the Poor. I want you to know one thing. You know, Father Hugh said I should preach for about 50 minutes. Is that right? No? All right, I won't do that.
Not in Miami.
You're going out the back door. Okay. Let me... So don't fall asleep, okay? Please. Right. Do you know that Father Hugh likes to go hunting? Did you know that?
No.
No, it's a story. It's a lie. But he decided to go hunting once. He has two friends, a priest himself, a doctor, and a lawyer. That's a bad combination. Anyway, off they go deer hunting, and they're out in the woods, and they see this buck off in the distance. They see, they fire, bang, 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 and the buck falls. For some reason, unbeknownst to them, a game warden comes walking by. Oh, gentlemen, can I help you? Well, yeah, Father Hugh says, well, we shot that buck, but we want to know which one of us got it. Was it myself, or was it the doctor or the lawyer? Game warden said, no problem, I'll go right over and I'll let you know. Goes over, looks, comes right back. He said it was the priest that got the buck. Doctor and lawyer say, the priest? How do you know it was the priest? He said, very simple. There was one bullet, and it went in one ear and right out the other. Now, I hope the messages that he and your other associate pastor, rector, have, and what I'm sharing with you this morning, doesn't go in one ear and out the other, but sort of hits your heart and soul and becomes part of who we are as Christian people, okay? You know, in spite of who we are as Christians, God remains faithful to us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Better. God is still at work in our lives. No matter what we believe, no matter what we do as we move together through this wilderness of life. You know, we all made promises during our baptismal covenant when we were baptized. We renew those promises Easter time and periodically throughout the year, right? Questions like, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And always that answer is what? I will with God's help. Let me hear you say that.
I will.
Let's do it again.
I will with God's help.
You and I, brothers and sisters, cannot separate our belief in God from the actions that that belief demands. We cannot immerse ourselves in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers without being stirred to embodying this knowledge and love of God through our actions in our world. Together, they create faith. We can do a whole lot of prayer or a whole lot of serving in a soup kitchen or a food pantry or a thrift shop, but an imbalance of one or the other does not exemplify what Jesus is asking. God is faithful in both word and deed. And that's the faith that you and I are called to. How many of us have told someone we would pray for him or her and then get distracted and didn't do it? Don't raise your hands. How many of us have thought or talked a lot about helping the marginalized in our community, but haven't? How many of us have been puzzled when people who are once zealous about their faith, about their church, just sort of faded away? We intended to contact them, but we never have. We all have good intentions, right? But our intentions don't really matter. It's our actions that are grounded in and flow from our relationship that count. All of these everyday actions are outward and visible signs of our inward and spiritual grace. They're all acts of love, love that God has for us, and we have for God. They're sacraments with a small s. This is food for the poor. Jesus preached, taught, touched, healed, and fed people. You know, if you and I take an honest examination of how God has touched each one of our lives, we'll be pretty darn surprised. Think back on your life. The ways that the tapestry of threads have been woven to get you where you are today. Those times when just the right thing happened. Those unexpected moments that changed your life and the spaces in between, all where God was caring for you. How do we respond to this? Jesus was asked the question, when did we see you a stranger and welcome you? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and visit you? When did we see you hungry and feed you? And Jesus' response is, as often as you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 40. You know, my sisters and brothers, every 10 seconds on average, a child dies somewhere in the world of malnutrition or malnutrition-related disease. That's children, fellow human beings who won't get to use their God-given life to grow in love and faith. It's true that too many material goods can make it difficult for us to see our dependence on God, but we do need the very basics of food and shelter to live a life of faith. How are we to serve a God who is so generous to us? By being generous with others, especially the poor, the poorest of the poor. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25 that it's necessary for our salvation. He will use it to separate the sheep from the goats. Feeding the hungry and clothing the naked are not optional. Indeed, it's in the breaking of bread, sharing a meal with the poor that we see Christ in them, and they see Christ in us. Over the course of our lifetimes, God has entrusted me, entrusted all of us, with money and valuables. We like to think we've earned what we have. But what have we earned that is not based on resources, opportunities, and talents that our God and Creator has given us? There is no shortage of poor for us to serve on behalf of Jesus. Over 1 billion people are impoverished and hungry. Many will see their precious children starve. A mother in Haiti whose child succumbs to malnutrition or disease feels no less pain at the loss of that child than we would. And that dead child is no less a beloved child of God than our children and our grandchildren are. 1 billion people live with little hope. You and I can be God's grace and love for these people. You and I can be Christ for them. Haiti is just a short distance off the coasts of our country. Yet there are families in Haiti where children have to take turns by day who can get to eat, or where moms make biscuits out of clay. I've seen these biscuits, and I forgot to bring one to show you. Biscuits out of clay so their children can simply have something in their stomachs. This is 2019. Part of my work as part of the Speakers Bureau, I'm one of about 75 clergy, Roman Catholic, Episcopal, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, who are part of the Speakers Bureau. And periodically, some of us go on mission trips to these countries that Food for the Poor serves. On my first visit, when I was part of Food for the Poor, we went to Honduras. We went to San Pedro Sula. Anybody been there? San Pedro Sula is the murder capital of the world. Yeah. We went to a number of places there. One place was a dump. I couldn't believe my eyes. There were people there rummaging through garbage. I mean garbage, animals there, vultures there. There were hypodermic needles, there was feces, it was a mess. Young kids with parents, with adults, rummaging, dogs rummaging through things, looking for some of the leftovers from the garbage from the McDonald's that came in from the cities. When we were there, I noticed, it was a big place, over in the distance, a blue tarp. You know the kind we use to put in the backyard to cover something up? I said, that's pretty good, people can get in out of the sun. A couple of us walked over, and we had some candy, some gifts to give to people. And it wasn't where people went to get out of the sun. It's where a family actually lived. They had no other place to go through no fault of their own. There are no safety nets in so many of these countries. You know, I'm talking today specifically on behalf of Food for the Poor. And I know some of you are saying right now to yourselves, Father George, there's lots of needs here in my parish, here in my extended family, here in this community. Why should I give to people in need who are living in distant lands? You're asking the who is my neighbor question. You're asking the who is my neighbor that Jesus was asked. And Jesus answered with the parable of the Good Samaritan. He said that anyone in need or who helps you when you are in need is your neighbor. So continue to give to this parish, to this community where you live. But we must not forget the poorest of the poor. I was so impressed with your mission statement. It's on the front page of your bulletin. It reads, to spread the gospel of Christ in thought, word, and deed to our community and the world. So I'm here to speak about Food for the Poor. It's one of the largest international relief and development organizations in the nation. It does more than feed millions of hungry in the 17 countries of the Caribbean and Latin America. It's an interdenominational Christian ministry providing emergency relief assistance, clean water, medicines, educational materials, homes, support for orphans and the aged, skills training, micro-enterprise development assistance. It is well rated as a charity by the Chronicle of Philanthropy, by Ministry Watch, because the monies that you and I give are used for the purpose for which they are intended. That's so important. Food for the Poor wants to turn the face of the first world to encounter Jesus Christ in the face of the third world. It is phenomenal what's being done. Feeding 2 million people a day. Over 100,000 homes have been built. These are homes that are concrete. You should see some of the homes people live in. Boy Scouts wouldn't go camping overnight in them. No wonder people are sick. Concrete homes that to you and I may look like a one-car garage, but are mansions to these people. Orphanages for children with AIDS and severely handicapped and the abandoned. Kids, through no fault of their own, have nothing. They're ostracized because they are born with AIDS or handicapped. There are no social service agencies to help people. I know in Guatemala, for example, there's a hospital. There are a lot of hospitals, the private ones, with the people that have can go to, but the majority of people can't go to them. They can't afford them, so they go to a public hospital. They wait days to get in. People are lined up in hallways. Food for the Poor is helping doctors, staff to support these places. It is unimaginable what's there. There's facilities for the dying. In Haiti, I know firsthand, people go into the mountains, Food for the Poor people, workers, into the mountains to bring in people who are dying so they can have a place to die in dignity instead of just being abandoned and left. This is 2019. We don't know what the poorest of the poor are. Food for the Poor provides clean water pumps, community centers, job opportunities. I can go on and on, but most importantly, it provides a sense of self-respect, and it transforms lives and human beings' self-image. That is also important. How many of you know the difference between relief and development? Relief. Somebody's hungry, you give them a fish. Development, you teach them how to fish. That is the premise with which Food for the Poor works. Development, teaching people, giving them a chance. I'll tell you one other story. On one mission trip, we went to a fishing village that years ago, a few years back, had been fighting with other villages, robbing, stealing, just to get stuff. Food for the Poor went in, raised funds to provide boats, engines, gas, tackle, techniques, the whole enchilada. And today that village is producing a good fishing village, making money, eating for themselves, making money and not stealing or robbing. That's what Food for the Poor does. It's not simply a stopgap measure. It helps people move on and to become better people. Good self-image and self-respect. Feeding the hungry. Clothing the naked are not optional. The need is urgent. I may just add one last story. This last visit, we went to an orphanage, and for the first time, it hit me to see these young kids. You know, I was an orphan here in the United States. I was adopted. I was taken care of by my loving parents who adopted me. I was given opportunities for an education, opportunities to grow in faith, in hope, and in love. These children in these places don't have that unless you and I help them. You'll notice in the brochure, which we're going to look at in a minute, there's an Angels of Hope program to help these kids. The need is urgent. It really is. And there is no safety net for these people. That children, you know, who dies of malnutrition, is no less a beloved child of God than our children and our grandchildren are. If you would, you have in the bulletins this envelope, this brochure about food for the poor. If you take it out, please. Open it up, you'll see opportunities for giving. Maybe this parish at some point would like to donate a house. Something to think about. Maybe the vestry can think about that and work on it. For $25, it can provide 20 chicks. Chicks provide food, they provide eggs, they can be sold, self-sufficient. $50 can provide 500 meals for hungry children. And $34 a month through the Angels of Hope program can assist children with education, with their development, those that are in the orphanages, to continue until they're age 18 to be on their own. $285 can provide a water pump. $90 can provide a goat. There's a lot of information on this. I'd like you to read it, take it home. Go to the website, it's on there, and check out what Food for the Poor is doing. Today, if you would, if not today, take it home, tear this off, there's an envelope. And it's not so much how much you give, it's that as part of this parish family, you want to participate. Now I know you're asked to give, and we all are, but I'm trying to stress the urgency in doing this, especially now at this Thanksgiving time, when we have so much to be thankful for. I would ask you to make a contribution. You can, all different ways, cash, check, credit card, or take it home and do it. You can bring it back next Sunday. You can put it in the mail. It's stamped, this parish is credited for it as part of their giving. But please do something. You can place it in the basket, the plate when it's passed around, or give it to me afterwards, whatever you choose. But I implore you, consider the poorest of the poor, people who depend on me and on you for needed help to live, to survive. It is urgent. As I conclude, I want to say, I hope and pray that this parish, that all of you, will continue to grow in faith and hope and in love. That you recognize the power of Jesus Christ in your lives and in this faith community. And I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine on each and every one of you, today and always. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
So this morning we're going to omit the creed and move straight to the prayers of the people.
The prayers of the people are form three, found on page 387. Please kneel if you are able.